reading Revelation chapter 17. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-coloured beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet colour, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which have the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest, where the whore sitteth, are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfil his will, and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city, which reigneth over the kings of the earth. I wonder if you note verse 15. The waters on which this whore, this prostitute, sits is extraordinary. Peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, this person that we're hearing about has control, it seems, of the hearts of almost all the people in the world. I wonder if you've heard it said, I'm sure we all have, or believed it at times, that all roads lead to God. It doesn't matter what you believe, provided you have faith. Others say, I respect a person of faith. Well, this chapter puts a very different perspective on such a saying. You might wonder why this person, this woman, is described so graphically as a whore. A whore, as we know, is a woman who sells herself to other men. And that's how this person is described. A woman who sits upon many waters. A woman who has power over the hearts of men and women who live in this earth. Very graphic, isn't it? What is it that she is able to offer them? We know that a prostitute offers her body. What is this whore, this prostitute, offering? Well, I suggest what she's offering is a false religion. See, there is a true religion, and there is a false religion. And men are called to true religion. Because we're all made in the image of God. And God calls us back to himself. There are not many ways back to God. There is one way. And that one way is through the Lamb of God that we read about in this passage. The Lamb who makes war with the beast and this woman. We see in verse 14, these shall make war with the Lamb, that is, this beast and this woman, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And we'll come on a little bit later to the significance of that Lamb and why this person is called a Lamb, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let's first of all have a look at the significance of this false religion. This woman who calls people into a relationship with her. If we go back to Ezekiel chapter 16, there's a picture of Israel who who are accused of committing fornication. Verse 26. Thou hast also committed fornication with the Egyptians, thy neighbours, greater flesh, and hast increased thy whoredoms to provoke me to anger. Behold, therefore, I have stretched out my hand over thee, and have diminished thine ordinary food, and delivered thee unto the will of them that hate thee, the daughters of the Philistines, which are ashamed of thy lewd way. Thou hast played the whore also with the Assyrians, because thou wast unsatiable. Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied. Thou hast moreover multiplied thy fornication in the land of Canaan unto Chaldea, and yet thou wast not satisfied herewith. How weak is thine heart, saith the Lord God, seeing thou doest all these things, the work of an imperious, whorish woman. Stark condemnation against Israel, because Israel turned away from the living God and instead turned to other gods, other nations, to put and place them in the place that God should have had in their affections. And so this woman does the same, but on a much wider basis. Look at her power. Verse 1 and 2. I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. And we've seen that that is talking about the peoples of this world with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. You see, kings derive their authority from God. Kings do not derive their authority from men. And we have a problem in our country, because democracy now means that parliaments will just look to the people, see what the people want, and do it. And if they find that the people don't want certain laws, then they'll change the laws to win the favour of the people. But governments, we read in Romans chapter 13, governments are given their authority by God to punish evil and to reward good. Not evil according to man's definition, but evil according to God's definition. But they won't do it. No, kings and rulers have not put God in the centre of their dealings with mankind. No. They've turned away to other gods. And Revelation chapter 17 tells us that they've turned to this whore with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. They've had an illicit relationship with this whore instead of ruling under the authority of Almighty God. They've gone to this whore. Who could this be? Well, friends, we see that whoever this woman is, that she is described in verse 5 in capital letters as the mother of harlots, the mother of all those that draw people to false religion. And this woman is part of Babylon, mystery Babylon, we see in verse 5. In chapter 17, we see the spiritual side of Babylon, and in chapter 18, we see the political side of Babylon. Mystery Babylon that rules over this world. We think, before we became Christians, I'm sure we all thought that we had some form of relationship with God. Many, we all think that anyone calling themselves a Christian must be a Christian. And who are we to judge them? And yet, here we have an explicit description of this whore. And if we're looking to identify this person, then we don't have to look much further than the Church of Rome, which unfortunately has many of these descriptions in common. Well, let's just have a look at what those are. We see, first of all, that the kings give their authority. They bow before this person. All kings who go to Rome and visit the Pope bow to the Pope, and they give their obedience to him. Even the Queen now visits the Pope. She goes in black because we are part of the separated brethren, according to Rome, because we are no longer, our nation is no longer a Roman Catholic country. All rulers will bow to the Pope. The Pope will not bow to them. And we see other descriptions. We see that she has a cup full of blasphemies. She is arrayed in purple and scarlet colour in verse 4. Well, all her cardinals are dressed in scarlet, all her bishops in purple, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. Friends, this church is a church of great wealth and prosperity. A golden cup in her hands, the golden cup of the Mass, full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Friends, the Mass itself, as I'm sure we all know, many of us know, is a terrible perversion of the truth of the Holy Communion. This is what it says in the Council of Trent. If anyone denies that in the sacrament of the Most Holy Eucharist are contained truly really and substantially, the body and blood together with the soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, and consequently the whole Christ, let him be anathema. It's saying that the bread and the wine of communion is Jesus Christ, is God. And that cup that is drunk by the priests, they are drinking Christ. Friends, that is a shocking blasphemy. And not only that, but we see, speaking of the blasphemies in Rome, the false names that are given to the Pope. Pontifex Maximus, a papal title meaning the chief bridge builder. Well, he takes that from the Caesars, showing that the Pope sees himself not as a spiritual ruler only, but as a political ruler too. Descended not from Peter, but from Caesar. Another name, Holy Father. That is a title that's already been used in prayer this morning. It's a title for God himself. John 17, verse 11, the Lord Jesus said, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Holy Father, the name the Lord Jesus uses for his heavenly Father, and yet the Pope misappropriates that name for himself. Every Roman Catholic priest is known as Father, and yet the Lord Jesus said, "And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father, which is in heaven." Monsignor, a title given to certain prelates in the Catholic Church. That means Lord, my Lord, Monsignor. And yet this is a title belonging only to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We call nobody else Lord. And then the title given to Mary, Mother of God. Well, Mary was indeed the mother of Jesus Christ's humanity, but she was not the mother of Jesus Christ's divinity. In the end of Mark's Gospel, you will recall that Mary and the Lord Jesus' brothers came to call Jesus. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, "Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee." And he answered them, saying, "Who is my mother or my brethren?" And he looked round about on them which sat about him, and said, "Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother." Christ's spiritual mother was not Mary. Christ's spiritual mother is anyone who does the will of God, really saying that the family of God is those who will obey the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Mary was no mother of God, and she's no co-redemptrix, as the popes would have you believe. She cannot redeem anybody. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. Friends, the Lord Jesus warns about false Christs. And this is the epitome, I dare suggest, of the false Christ. She has a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the Mother of Harlots and Abominations of the Earth. Well, I haven't got time to show you the relationships with Roman Catholicism and all other false religions. But the reality is that this is described in the Bible, this woman who has so many relationships to Rome, is described as the mother of all those false religions. And so we would expect, and we do see, Rome, the Pope, having relationships with other spiritual leaders apart from just Roman Catholics. Hindus, Buddhists, all kinds and manners of false religions. You will find the Pope has some form of dialogue with them and refuses to say that they are all false, as he should do with his own religion too. And then we have at the location of this false religion, the woman that sits upon many waters, and it speaks about being on seven hills, seven mountains. The seven mountains of Rome, friends. If you go to the end of the chapter, you'll see that verse 18, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." The woman is a city. And I suggest that city is Rome. And the seven hills on which she sits. The seven hills of Rome, friends. There are seven. They don't look like seven at the moment because many of them have been filled in. But I can give you the names of them afterwards. I think perhaps time would not allow us to do it today. But friends, there is the clear identification, I suggest, of this false religion. And then it says that she's made herself, in verse 6, drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. This false religion has killed people in the name of religion. And if you look back at the history of Roman Catholicism, tragically we see that they have been the authors of the murders of many, many thousands of people. 1096, Roman Catholic crusaders slaughtered half the Jews in Worms in Germany. In 1208, between 1208 and 1226, the Albigensian crusades in southern France led to the slaughter of 20,000 citizens of Béziers. In 1209, Albigensian Christians and Catholics were slain as well. And by the time the Roman Catholic armies had finished their crusade, almost the entire population of southern France, mostly Albigensian Christians, had been exterminated. And just to pick up one or two others. In 1389, Roman Catholic mobs murdered 3,000 Jews in Prague. Then under Queen Mary in this country, in attempting to bring England back under the yoke of Rome, during her reign approximately 200 men and women were burned to death, including bishops, scholars and other Protestant leaders. In 1572, French Roman Catholic soldiers began killing Protestants in Paris on the night of August 24th. They killed at least 10,000 Protestants. I could go on. As recently as 1941, the Roman Catholic Ustashi in the fascist state of Croatia butchered up to 1 million Serb Orthodox Christians. Well, friends, it's a gruesome tale, I'm sorry to say. There's never been any repentance from the Vatican. There's never been an acknowledgement that these acts of murder were wrong and reparation needs to be made. Friends, I am sorry to say, it is the whore that is described in this chapter. And why do we look in such detail? Why is Scripture so graphic about it? It's because it is a warning to us. And there are lessons to be learned for all of us. And I certainly don't want to finish today on that sour note as we look at a false religion and we just touch on the details. In verse 6, we see that this woman will be judged. The whore will be judged. I think I've probably got it wrong on verse 6, but if we see it again in verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. She will be judged, and she will be brought to an end. Verse 9. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. That's the reference to the seven hills of Rome. There is wisdom, friends. Because if we want to know the truth is in this book. The truth is in the Word of God. The Word of God will show us the way out of false religion and the way to true religion. We see at the beginning how John was called, "Come hither by the Lord Jesus himself. Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore." The Lord Jesus himself revealed these things to John, and he will reveal those things to us. Friends, there is a right path to God. Let's see where we find it in this passage. Verse 14 speaks of the war that this beast upon which this woman sits will make, the beast and the woman. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. I said I would return to the Lamb. The Lord Jesus Christ is described by John the Baptist as the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. That's why we see him referred to as a Lamb. Because he is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. True religion can only be had through the Lord Jesus. He was the one who paid the price of the sins of the world. He takes them away. No one else can. And anyone else, anyone who suggests another way, a way of works, is calling people to a false religion. See, there is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb, and Revelation tells us about that at the end. In verse 7 of chapter 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. See, we are all called to be the wife of the Lamb. But this whore calls people to an unlawful union, which can never lead us to that bridal feast, because we are not part of the bride if we go that way. And we're called, friends. Have you been called by name? Have you heard the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ to give yourself to him, to come as a sinner, to repent of your sins, and to trust in that sacrifice on the cross, where the Lord Jesus became our sacrificial lamb to pay for the sins that we have committed? That is the relationship that we're called into. And we are chosen, called and chosen. We think that we choose Christ, and we are responsible for that choice. But the choice is actually the Lord's. Have we made ourselves ready? Have we made ourselves fit through the blood of the Lamb to be called the children of God? Because that is the call of Scripture, that we should repent and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, are we faithful? The Christian life is not just about getting our names in the Book of Life. And we read about the Book of Life here in this passage in verse 8. Let's turn back. The beast that thou sawest and is not, and shall ascend out of a bottomless pit and go into perdition, and they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Friends, the Book of Life is where the names of the called and chosen are written. And each one of us needs to have our names written in that Book of Life. And it is for the called, the chosen, and the faithful. The faithful who turn away from false religion and turn to the true religion that the Lord Jesus Christ offers. The true religion which we find in this book and nowhere else. You see, it's this book that identifies false religion. The false religion that Roman Catholicism and all other religions outside biblical Christianity offer. And we are to flee from those false religions and to cleave to this book. In 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16, we're given this command. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come up from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We cannot remain yoked to false religion and commit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. We are told to come out and be separate. By that I am not saying that we will find no Roman Catholics in heaven. But I can say this, we will find no Roman Catholics who follow the dogmas of the Pope because his way is a false way. But a Roman Catholic who's been converted will obey Scripture and come out and be separate. Because that is what we must do. Separate ourselves from that which is contradictory to true religion. It's not just a case of opinions. This is a religion that is idolatrous and which is adulterous. That's how strong the Bible is about it. She has committed adultery because she has offered a way, a false way, which means denying the Lord Jesus Christ. The bride is to be the wife, is the bride of Christ, to be the wife of Christ in a spiritual setting. And if we cast our affections to anybody else, towards anybody else, we've committed adultery. You know, the Lord Jesus says, if we look so much as another woman, if you're a man, you've committed adultery in your heart just to look. And so it is with false religion. Just to look at false religion is to commit adultery in our hearts. We have got to separate ourselves from it completely. However attractive we might see some of the mystery in it. And there is mystery in Rome. Going back to verse 5 of chapter 17, she's called Mystery Babylon. There's something mysterious and seductive about her. That's why Cardinal Newman, who started life as an evangelical, forsook the way of the Bible and became a Roman Catholic. He was seduced by the mystery of it. Friends, we must not be. We will find all that we need in the Bible. Friends, this is a spiritual book. It's a supernatural book. It was written by the finger of God and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this book will give us all that we need to get us to heaven. And I commend it to us. And I commend that separation from all that is false, that we might be told at the end of our lives, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Friends, that is why it's not enough just to be born again. There is a spiritual battle. Verse 14 reminds us, "These shall make war with the Lamb." When you become a Christian, you realize that there is an adversary. He will come up in many guises. Roman Catholicism is not his only guise, it's one of them. He will do anything to take you away from simple biblical Christianity. He will invent all sorts of reasons to persuade you you don't have to come to church. You don't have to read your Bible. You can just be on your own, and that'll be enough. Friends, we've seen the spiritual side of Babylon, the center of false religion. Chapter 18 tells us about the political side and the merchandise of the city and the temptation that there is for all of us just to give ourselves to material wealth and prosperity and our careers and put everything else behind it. Friends, Christ calls for our whole hearts. He calls for us to be faithful to him. You'll remember Matthew 6, verse 33. "Seek ye first his kingdom and righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Friends, let our priority be the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us not turn aside either to false spirituality or to worldliness. Both will take us away from our first love, which is to follow the Lamb wherever he leads us. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we'll sing our final hymn, number 369. Janusz, would you like to close in prayer for us after?
Mercy.
that is worth hating in yonder bright mansion for me, and to with the Spirit make perfect at home.